You are listening to episode 225 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am your master of ceremonies, Ben, a.k.a. the Marlo Siggy. Joining me is our presenter for the evening, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian?
Ben, lovely to be here.
And, of course, our nominee for Best White Male in Oklahoma, a.k.a. AKA Indian Burial Ground, Mr. Jonathan Cotwright. Jonathan, welcome back, buddy.
Well, I want to thank you, and I want to thank the Academy for selecting me for my white on
white appearance. Play the music.
Appearance.
Dun, 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 dun.
Thank you, John. Thank you for coming out. It's been a pleasure having you. Yes, so ladies and gentlemen, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel. And in this episode, we're going to talk about some comic books, including Avengers, Hulk, and maybe a little bit of an X-Men, maybe the worst X-Men ever. Also some news on X-Force, Deadpool, Wolverine and Iron Fist casting. Also, we're going to cast our best picture of the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe, a.k.a. the our most favorite books of the since Marvel has relaunched in October 2015. So look forward to that. But let's get right into it with the unofficial official confirmation of a certain actor playing the Iron Fist for Marvel's upcoming Netflix series, Iron Fist. Mr. Powers, will you please present the award for upcoming for best white actor cat for best white actor when the internet wants an Asian role.
Sure.
Wants an Asian actor.
Sure. And that award goes to none other than Finn Jones from the Game of Thrones franchise. Yes, you see, for months on end, it seemed that the Iron Fist Netflix series was the one series that couldn't get its shit together. And then when things finally started to happen, like they got a showrunner and they got a tentative release date, things started to bubble up about the casting, mainly that, you know, maybe it wouldn't have to be a blonde-haired white man for the Iron Fist. Maybe it could be an Asian person. Because, you know, the essential premise of Iron Fist is that he goes to the Kunlun Mountains, which is essentially in China, learns Kung Fu, and then comes back to, you know, save his neighborhood or whatever. So they were thinking, instead of having him show up and just learn Kung Fu, maybe it could be an Asian person who could learn Kung Fu. You know, because all Asian people learn Kung Fu. As it turns out, though, that did not end up happening. No. Instead, we got Finn Jones, who, again, as stated, has been previously on the Game of Thrones series. He has been tapped, allegedly, as Danny Rand, a.k.a. the Iron Fist, although Marvel and Netflix, neither of them confirmed this rumor. It was originally reported by Entertainment Weekly based on inside sources, and that's really all that there should have been to it, but, of course, the internet just couldn't let shit go.
No. Here's the thing I'd say to this. If Danny Rand, you know what? It's like you can't have it both ways. One, we already have an excellent Asian fighter in, and I was saying one, we could always have more, okay? So let me preface that right now. We can always have more. But if you're going to cast an existing Marvel character who is Asian, we already have Shang-Chi, who's an amazing character in his own right. So why not, instead of demanding, because the Lord knows we're entitled to shit, that Marvel recast, Marvel and Netflix cast Danny Rand as an Asian actor, why not demand for a Shang-Chi ongoing series? Or not ongoing series, but a Shang-Chi Netflix series? Because Lord knows, I would love, and I know John would love, a 70s-style kung fu action movie dedicated to it. And also, if Danny Rand was, you know, like, and Brian alluded to this, was cast as Asian, doesn't that just feel a stereotype that all Asians just know kung fu? Like, in that like, a thing you guys hate, that the only reason Asian actors are cast is for to be the kung fu guy? Right? Like, I don't understand this. It's like, the whole cool thing about Iron Fist is that he is literally an outsider. He is an outsider coming in and learning the ways not only of the Iron Fist, but of the Far East. Versus, I don't know, like, it's like you can't have it both ways, internet. You can't.
Yeah.
It never makes much sense, I know.
Yeah, look, people knew that there was a good chance that being the source material is based on a young white man, that they were going to cast a white young man. I mean, granted, they did keep the casting call
open. Brian, the white man is the devil. We got to have more diversity. We got to have more diversity, Brian. You got to understand. We got to reach all demographics no matter what the source material is because the KKK is evil, Brian. You got to save that.
Look.
I can do.
I know.
You know, this is Larry David. You know what? The internet is pretty dumb with the Iron Fist thing. So there you go. Go watch Kirby Enthusiasm. Just go.
Look, as far as this goes, I mean, granted, I did hear some pretty, you know, not outlandish picks, but I heard some diverse picks for Iron Fist. I know our very own Darth Primus wanted Olivia Munn to play Iron Fist.
There has been precedent for a female Iron Fist.
I'm not saying there has been, and I'm not saying I wouldn't have wanted to see it, because as I said, my opinion of her is starting to turn after her turn as Psylocke, but it's just, you know, I can't be mad at this, because like you said, it's from the original source material, and yes, that source material was basically taken from Asian, you know, culture and whatnot, and using it in a white character.
It's like yellow fever. I think I saw the term being used around this yellow expectation of it. You know.
Maybe it is me because I am white and I'm privileged, I guess.
You're not privileged. I fucking hate. Like, Jesus, what privilege are you talking about? Oh wow. Like, you don't get stopped by the cops. You fucking whatever.
Look, man, I'm not here to argue race politics.
Check your privilege, white man.
Look.
I know.
I'm just saying, okay, that this whole thing just seems superfluous to me, honestly. Because I don't mind. I mean, granted, I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I don't know this guy.
Spoilers, everybody dies.
Well, fair enough. So I don't know if he's a good actor one way or the other. That will prove itself in time, and as will the show itself. I'm not going to watch this show and judge it based solely on the nationality of the lead character. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into it wanting to see Iron Fist kick ass in some kung fu slippers. That's what I want to see.
And a high collar, and a high 70s collar.
So the not casting of any Asian person in this role just doesn't bother me much, but again, it's not my problem to begin with, so I'm just kind of, you know, just kind of put my hands up in the air with a shrug, like, eh. You know, so that's...
John,
like, that's,
you're the biggest fan of kung fu movies amongst the three. What are your thoughts on this whole internet backlash? I'm the casting of this young man as Iron Fist.
Well, personally, I think anybody that's criticizing the casting needs to go, as Angry Jim Ross would say on another podcast, they can go fuck themselves.
There's an Angry Jim Ross character out there? Of course there is.
Yes, listen to WrestleCraft Radio.
It's going to be a real slobber knocker here. I feel that I can't do it. He's from Oklahoma. But, he's from your state. You can do it, Jim Ross.
thanks for my train of thought here. But the actor in question plays a kind of a badass character on Game of Thrones, although he is kind of gay, but the actor himself, not. But
wait,
so
you can't say gay, John. You can't say that. That's not appropriate, John. It's not PC, John.
Yeah, you gonna say homosexual? Is homosexual
okay? Vegas? Okay, anyway. Hoofters, I don't
Member
care.
Of the...
Rear view mirrors, I don't care. I can outdrag a drag
queen. Just move along, sir.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. But the actor in question, I think, would do a good job. He can handle fight scenes. Now, martial arts, we'll have to see because you know how that is. But I'm just glad they finally got somebody cast and they didn't cave into the pressure of, you got to have an Asian to play this guy because, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'd like to see an accurate, you know, portrayal. It'd be like saying, okay, we got Black Panther, let's put a white guy playing Black Panther.
Let's get Steve Buscemi to play Black Panther.
That's right. or Brock Lesnar. You never know. I get so tired of hearing about that. We need to be more diverse and more. If you're gonna do that, then don't show a character like Iron Fist. Get Shang-Chi. That way, you can accurately have an Asian actor portray the role the way it's supposed to be. Iron Fist is a white guy who goes to Asia, learns it, becomes the protector of Kunlun, comes back to America, and joins up with Luke Cage and becomes Heroes for Hire, and becomes a badass superhero in his own right. And I want something accurate, not something politically correct. Unless they've shown in an established parallel universe that there's a black Iron Fist or Asian Iron Fist, that's fine. I mean, yes,
well,
they've got the
legacy. To consider with that, this is retroactive considering this wasn't explored until about less than a decade ago, that Iron Fist was, it's a legacy. He's not the only one. He's not the first. Yeah. He's not the last.
And I think they...
But the issue is not Iron Fist. The issue is Danny Rand. That's the issue.
Yeah. I think that they just need to just, call off the PC police, let them come out with a good story, good entertainment. And if they can do like what they did with what Mad Fraction did with that title, which I find...
They need to just use that. Before. Use that blueprint as the run of the show. That's your blueprint right there.
Yeah, do that. You can then flashback and show the legacy of the Iron Fist while... having the more...
Oh, that would be so cool. Like you show the past, like you do cutaways and you get like the Iron Fist is a pirate. The Iron Fist, the Chinese female Iron Fist, cuz like there was between arcs. For those of you who don't know, in the 2007 launch, that's really the book that sort of launched Iron Fist into recent popularity. I mean, he's been around since the 70s. But let's be real here. Iron Fist didn't really become popular until 2007 when Brubaker and Fraction launched that book. And it became more known to a wider consciousness, including me and Brian. John, you already knew about it way before we did.
Well, I mean, he had the Heroes for Hire type thing going on.
Yeah, but it wasn't like where he is now, where he's on T-shirts, where you say Iron... Like, he's ended up starting in video games and in other spin-off things, and now he's getting a Netflix series. Let's not kid ourselves. That series did a lot to... And then, of course, he joins the Avengers, which also helped his popularity. Let's be real here. The Iron Fist that we know didn't start...
We're being real, Iggy. How much more real do you want us to be, man? Come on, dude.
All real. All real. Hashtag real warriors. Actually, we're not. Those are the U.S. Army. You thank a veteran every time you see them. What I'm saying is... They could do that. They could easily show they can show the diversity of the Iron Fist lore without having to change Danny Rand's character. The issue
isn't...
That's
what I'm saying.
I'm not against Iron Fist being a woman or Asian because there's precedent for that. Danny Rand is not that. Daniel Rand, Daniel San, I'm sure they're going to do a Daniel San joke at any point in time.
If they don't, I'll be supremely disappointed.
Wax on, wax off. But anyways, bottom line is, I hope Danny Rand should be white. I'm glad he's white. You can show the legacy of the Iron Fist of various different races and different genders throughout time. I really hope they do that. I hope they put Shang-Chi in the show. Because as we've seen, we got a... And John's apparently at the Walmart checking out his groceries.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's fine.
Sorry about that.
We've seen other Marvel characters. We're going to see Punisher show up in Daredevil. We saw Luke Cage first debut in Jessica Jones. Why not have Shang-Chi, a fellow martial artist, show up and fight alongside or fight against Iron Fist, I think Shang-Chi belongs in this series. I think it'd be great. What do you guys think? Shang-Chi and Iron Fist? If he's not going to get his own show, put Shang-Chi in there? Maybe a older Shang-Chi, like sort of a mentor to Iron Fist, and get Robin Shu to do it, because I'm sure he's not... Now, how cool would... Don't tell me Robin Shu wouldn't be a good Shang-Chi.
I agree.
Is Shang-Chi Chinese, right? He's Chinese, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, he's Chinese. Okay. And I think Robin Shu is Chinese as well. Or is he something?
Yes, he is.
Okay, he's Chinese.
He's
See?
Chinese.
See? I know people are going to try to connect, oh, you're just going to get random, like, you're just going to cast Ken Watanabe. No. I know he's Japanese. I know that. I was pretty sure Robin Shu was Chinese. I mean, just the last name. Like, it's in a, whatever. The point. Let us know what you think. Final thoughts, guys, on Iron Fist and the PC culture that is the internet.
I say fuck PC culture. We need to just get off your ass and just grow a pair and just deal with it and go on. It's the best thing, you know, it's the easiest deal.
Or when an actual new character featuring a like new race gender, actually buy the damn book and support it. And don't put your money where your mouth is. That's the truth. Put your money where your mouth is. Why do you think Miles is still around? Because people got behind the book. If that book flopped, Miles wouldn't be here. So let's move on to something else. Brian, let's move on to news about Deadpool. Because we talked about that last week.
Yes, we did. We did briefly talk about it. We had mentioned how during our Deadpool special that what we would like to see from the forthcoming sequel for Deadpool that was announced ahead of the release of the actual first movie. And one of the suggestions across the board was Cable being in attendance for the second Deadpool movie. Well, now we're doubling our chances of seeing Cable show up in any sort of multimedia because it has been revealed that the X-Force movie, the forthcoming X-Force movie, again, ambiguous in nature, but we do know they have announced it, or they at least plan to develop it, will be worked on by the writers of the Deadpool movie. Yeah, so I forget the names of the... I'm going to look it up real quick, but yeah. Essentially, Fox came out and said that the writers of the film will be tapped to do some early script work on the franchise. That's Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, also known for creating the Zombieland franchise. That was their movie. So they'll be the first ones to get a crack at writing.
Is it really a franchise when it's only one movie?
Yeah, well, they're still developing a sequel.
Yeah, it hasn't come out yet, though, so it's not a franchise.
Well, they also have this shitty TV show on Amazon Prime.
That's a thing?
It is as bad as it sounds.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Amazon, you hit it good with the Man in High Castle, but Jesus.
Yeah.
Zombieland, the TV, what the, whatever.
Yeah. Huh?
Trying to capture that Walking Dead money, I see. You need to get Robert Kirkman's money.
That's what we got.
Okay, one, I think, like, so when people hear that headline, they're going to be like, oh, they're going to make X-Force jokey. First of all, no. If anything, what Deadpool showed is that they understood the character. Now, a lot of that had to do with Ryan Reynolds, too, of understanding the character, but I think the writers also had to have a love for Deadpool, because I'm pretty sure Ryan didn't write the script all by himself. That I think you can get, they can get to the core of X-Force, and that's basically a deadlier, cooler version of the X-Men. You know, if you want to boil it down to at least, it all depends on what version of X-Force they go with. Are they going to go with the classic New Mutants turn into X-Force with the Rob Liefeld, Fabian Nicieza run, which is, I think, the one they should with the ridiculous shoulder pads and everything like that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
I said had no feet.
Oh, true that. There's no below the waist shots or below the knee shots. It's all knee up. You don't ever see anything from there. You could also go with the Daniel Craig and Craig Kyle, the one before Remender's run, with X-23, Archangel, Wolfsbane, that run, that X-Force run. You could also do that run. That's also a celebrated run. Or they could do arguably the most celebrated run in X-Force history, at least here at the Mighty Warriors 3. Uncanny X-Force, but I think that requires that requires a lot more nuance because there's so much moving pieces of the
movie. It also doesn't involve Cable really in any way, shape, or form.
No, but you could substitute Cable for Deathlok. Like, really? Like, you just put, like, if you wanted to, let's be real here. Deathlok in that story serves as the future who comes back in the future to stop something evil. What does Cable do? Theoretically, you could figure out, rewrite some things, and you can put Cable in that Deathlok slot. And you can have maybe not Wolverine. You could have Archangel. Why not have Archangel? Archangel's gonna be a thing in the movies. You could have Archangel. Psylocke's gonna be a thing. You already have that. Just cast Phantom X. And there you go. There you go. See? I'm already casting your movie. I'm already writing your movie. Fox, hire me. I will write your... I will just give you Remender's script and say, one, this man should totally receive credit for the movie, but here's what you should do. But in all honesty, they really need to do... They need to do, like, a classic, good 90s action movie. Because that's what it is. That's what F-Force was. And do the Rob Liefeld stuff. The big guns, the over-the-top action, the crazy villains, the epic stop, save the world kind of shit. That's what they need to do. Not focusing on how humanity hates us or stuff like that. You can touch on that if you want to. But straight up balls-to-the-wall action with Domino, with Cable, with Wolfsbane, with Shatterstar. Who am I forgetting?
Cannonball.
Cannonball. And what's the other guy? Not Human Torch.
Sunspot.
Sunspot. There you go. Do those guys. That's what you need to do. What do you guys think? And I behind the writers, they understand characters, and that's important. And Deadpool was a good movie, not because of Ryan, because the story was well done. Like legit, not just the comedy was there, but everything else underneath it supported the comedy too. So let's not take that away. What do you got, John? Let's go to you first.
If anybody was to ask me what version of X-Force that I would want to see, I would have to go old school and say the original X-Force with Cannonball and crew, because that's what I read, you know, and where I saw Cable come in, Deadpool and all that. And if they can get the right, with the script writers that did Deadpool, I think they could hit it right. And I have higher hopes for this than I've had for next movie in quite some time. So it looks like Fox is finally starting to steer things in the right direction instead of making every other couple of movies a good one and then a complete, you know, waste of celluloid. So I think it's in good hands. That's all I can say. But I would like to see the classic lineup with maybe a few bits of the later stuff thrown in, but, you know, if they can do sequels right. There you go.
Brian!
Yes! Well, let's see. I mean, the fact that we're even getting an X-Force movie is something to just behold, because, God, I never thought we'd get an X-Force movie. That being said, and in terms of what I like to see transferred onto the screen, like you said, the Uncanny X-Force is a little bit dense for just a movie, you know? You might have to pare that down a little bit. I will say, God, did you mention Dennis Hopeless's Cable in the X-Force series?
That's another thing. Yes, that's an underrated one because it's technically the shortest out of all of them, so I kind of forgot about it, but I remember when all new Marvel Now, which, by the way, was 3 years ago. Oh, God. Where has the time gone?
Yeah, man.
But that's also a really good one. Like, that's a very modern uptake of what Rob Liefeld was doing in the early 90s.
I was actually, during Free Comic Book Day 1 year, a couple years back, they actually had Hopeless at a signing at my local comic store, and I talked to him a little bit about it. And he said one of the best things about working on that book was that he just basically got to write a cheesy 90s action flick with the X-Men characters.
Nice.
And I think that is exactly the type of attitude you need to bring to an X-Force movie. Even if you're not going to involve Deadpool, it needs to be something that happens. Because it is just, in essence, you know, there's big guns, big pouches, you got women with big... things, and it's just, you know, it's gonna be one of those movies, you know, and you can be absolutely unapologetic about it, or you can do it in a way that really satisfies what you feel needs to be solid writing. But either way, you know, you need to hit something that'll resonate with not just comic fans but across the board, and I think the Cable and the X-Force series did that, because they were able to take the concept of this team and then turn it into something. You know, it's not necessarily fight for the future in the present or feared and hated or whatever. They're people who were knocking off the bad guys, and they got a reputation as the bad guys, and they didn't care because they were doing what needed to get done. And I think that's what you need to bring to the series no matter what. So I would like to see, just of what I've read, because I never read any of the classic stuff. It's not for lack of trying. I just so much stuff I have to
You read. Can find the individual issues, like, and like you can even get like
I'm not saying it's,
yeah,
I'm
there, not saying it's, there is you can I have a copy of X-Force number 1, so that I have signed by Rob Liefeld. But yeah, you can, if you want to read the, I would honestly recommend the trade paperbacks because the paper quality is so much better though.
Yeah, that's fair. So I guess as it stands, it's just Excuse me. So I mean, I would like to see the Cable and the X-Force brought to the series. That'd be my first go-to, just because it's the only one I've read out of the more recent stuff that's so immediately transferable. You know, just because you can see these guys. Fuck, I think they what was it? They were battling a mech suit versus a giant scorpion, I think, or some shit like that.
Oh yeah.
And that was just absolute insanity, naturally. But it's just so much fucking fun, you know. So that's what you need to bring to the movie thing more than anything else. So.
Yeah, I agree. 90s action movie. That's what they need to do. So let's move on, because apparently we're just talking about the X-Men this episode. With Deadpool having huge success for, in a rated R, obviously this opened up the floodgates for everywhere. People are upset that Batman v Superman's gonna get a rated R cut, despite that it's. Like, again, nobody remembers. The Hobbit got a rated R cut, too, when it got a home release. So that doesn't mean shit. You whatever. I'm going to do a whole video. I'm going to do a video on this later. But, Old Man Logan is going to be based on Old Man Logan, which you've known for a while, which is going to be really weird, but it's also going to be rated R. I mean, they're not going to have, they may have Wolverine say, fuck. Or, you know, God damn it, or whatever the cuss shit. They probably have them cuss more. There's definitely going to be more blood. I wonder if they're going to do that scene at the beginning of Old Man Logan. Not the beginning of Old Man Logan, but, where I think it's like the fourth or fifth chapter, Brian, where he thinks he's killing all the supervillains, but...
That was issue number 5, I believe.
Okay.
The flashback.
Now, obviously, they're not going to have him fight the Marvel Universe because, you know, movie rights to certain
movie
characters.
Rights.
But it could be like, you know, Magneto's henchmen or something. It doesn't have to be the villains. The villains are not the shocking value for it. But the shocking value is the fact that there's a double page spread that's beautifully, horrifically beautifully done, hauntingly beautiful, that's the word I'll phrase also
keep yeah.
by Steve McNiven, of Wolverine as he decimated the X-Men, and that they couldn't stop him. Like, you have, I don't have the panel in front of me, but, like,
he was holding the mangled body of Jubilee while he looked at, like, Iceman was decapitated, and Kitty Pryde was draped on top of Colossus, and you had
Cyclops' ice was slashed out. Fucking Beast was just a torso.
Someone was sticking onto like a wooden beam, like a sharpened wooden beam was just dangling there. It was really, really like horrible.
So I like, if you're gonna do rated R, that scene has to be in there. Again, not obviously hiding it that like it's an attack on the mansion and Wolverine has to go all out, you know, has to protect the kids and he doesn't know where they're at, and then you know, like, I don't know how you, maybe there's gotta be some manipulating mutants in there somewhere, and then you pull back and you just see like Austin. What is the actor who like all the actors who played them, and then just like,
so like James Marsters, I guess.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Just like, ugh. Well, maybe not, yeah, thank you. Like all of them just dead, and it's just like, oh god. Like that is the only reason to me why this movie rated R, because that scene is the most graphic thing about Wolverine, Old Man Logan. Because for the most part, yeah, you got, you know, I mean, because some of the other things that are graphic, they can't do in the movie. They can't do in the movie anyways because they don't own the rights to those characters. I don't think, you know, they can't. But like, if you're gonna do rated R, that scene has to be in it, of the double of Wolverine slaughtering, and you don't tell the audience that. You show him slaughtering either unknown agents or enemy or random gooks or something, and you know. There you go.
Mm-hmm. What is it? Being that I am such a devoted fan of the Old Man Logan storyline, I mean, I understand they can't do everything that was in the book. For example, one of the main characters of that series was Hawkeye, and for obvious reasons, you can't use Hawkeye.
We're not going to get Jeremy Renner showing up, although that would be cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I understand they can't do certain things, but then, you know, you can easily swap things around. Like, for example, in the storyline, you know, they point out that Logan lives under the thumb of Bruce Banner and his inbred clan of Hulks, who are just nasty, vicious dudes. How easy and ironic would it be to swap that for Sabretooth, honestly, that he's living under Sabretooth's thumb?
Oh, that would be great. Get Liev Schreiber back?
Because they have talked about that as well. Another tidbit, Sabretooth has been talked about for maybe returning for the third Wolverine flick. So if that were the case, that'd be super easy to do, you know? And, you know, Magneto's domain was originally his, but then it was taken over by the Kingpin. But you could easily swap Red Skull for Magneto and make him the head honcho of whatever, you know, onslaught.
Or Sinister. They could do Sinister, too.
Or Sinister, too. I'm trying to think because the main four were Hulk, Magneto, Doctor Doom, and the Red Skull, I believe. So I'm trying to pare it down to X-Men foes we know we can get in the door. And Mr. Sinister, I think, would be the closest equivalent to maybe Doctor Doom, perhaps? But maybe that could be, I don't know. So it really is kind of, you know, it's open for interpretation, reinterpretation, I should say. But the fact that we're getting a rated R Old Man Logan movie is just... We are living in a golden age, man. We are living in just... For me, what is paradise? Because this is one of my absolute favorites. And I'm surprised it took him this long, being that this is a Mark Millar property. And Mark Millar, he trades in his property for movie contracts like they're fucking candy. He doesn't wait. He sells stories before he even starts writing them. Like, seriously. But I cannot wait to see this movie brought to life. And I'm curious to see what they do with it. Because while I do love Old Man Logan... I mean, obviously, there are a few moments here and there you could cut. There's a few moments you could add, theoretically. But that what they need to bring to the franchise and what they need to cut out will more likely interpret what gets done. So I'm really looking forward to seeing it happen, one way or the other. John Boy, you're up.
I'm just going to say this. I've been waiting a long damn time for a really badass Wolverine film that actually will let them show blood and armed flying. You know, when the claws, you know, hit, claws going through the body where it goes through the cloth instead of seeing the cloth expand and that kind of thing. What I've been hearing and from what I've heard of the storyline, this will be a good way for Hugh Jackman to wrap it up and get that R rating for the story, not just so you can say, hey, kids, we got another R-rated movie for y'all, you know. But do it with the storyline in mind, and I'll be there. I'll be there opening day, ready to just whoa. Wolverine. I know. I try, but you know I'm waiting for that full on Berserker Fury Wolverine that we have not got to really see in the movies. I mean, the closest we got was in X2, but that was also because you know. Still PG-13, they were going, nope, you gotta take this out, you gotta da 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 da. And I'm like, fuck you. You should let him go at least go full out at least once. That's why he's got the claws. You know? He's a badass for a reason.
Yeah, on the theatrical cut for the Wolverine on Blu-ray 3D version only. I mean, you can watch it. It's on Blu-ray. It's not like on Blu-ray, not on 3D version, but to get that version, you have to order with the 3D copy. There was a R-rated version that had more blood, a little bit more blood and a little bit more scenes. So,
yeah, I have that copy, and it was fun to watch, but it was still missing. You know, I don't know. It's hard to describe without sounding like some sort of visceral. Violence enjoyer, which, well, I do like people getting ripped apart in a movie. That's not what I'm all about. I want to be true to the character and as accurate as possible. And you'll get me. That's one of the reasons why I love Deadpool so much, because they got the character dead on. And they can do that with Wolverine in this last one. I'll be very happy, whether it's R, PG-13, whatever. But they do need to have at least one good knockout, drag out, you know, R-rated style fight, and you'll hear no complaints from me.
Omega Red,
like Taser.
Omega Red, this is it. This is his film debut.
Oh dear Lord!
I am the Omega Red. I will defeat your comrade. I am not Colossus.
Yes, Omega Red.
Only if they do it like what they did when he was with when Jim Lee was doing them. then I might be.
Oh hell yeah, that yeah, of course.
Up for that, but otherwise I'll make her. Oh, well,
Jim Lee's best creation.
I understand you like that character, but he was not one. As the years have gone by, he has not been one of the better ones. That's just how they've handled him. Anyway.
Well, that's just Omega Red. Omega Red for the true villain of Wolverine 3. They might do Romulus, whatever the fuck Romulus was. Wasn't there? Is it Romulus from the origin comic?
Yeah.
Who was that? I don't know who that was. Who was that?
Romulus?
Yeah.
He's been the puppeteer. Well, allegedly, he's been like a puppeteer behind the scenes, a mutant since the birth of Rome or whatever, and like he's.
Oh, do that guy. That sounds cool. Make him the ruler of everything. That sounds cool.
He was also like descended from a race of dog people, and.
You mean wolves? That's how Rome was founded. I mean, it was an English.
No, it wasn't founded by wolf people. It was founded by a guy who was taken care of by a wolf. It wasn't like a literal wolf person. But
well, you could make it a wolf person because they're mutants.
Yeah, I can see your point.
I'm just saying, so, it'd be cool.
I'm not debating it, but that's also setting up a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff he would have to take credit for didn't happen. Like the slaughter of Itsu and the murder of the murder of Dokken's mother, and you know things like.
Yeah, but we're not gonna get those storylines because nobody gives a shit about Dokken. Well, so
what's the point of setting this guy up as some big bad boogeyman if you can't give him anything to beat the boogeyman?
Because he's the massive initiator. He's the one who started the whole thing. He's the one that got Wolverine to kill the X-Men or something or whatever. There you go. They can't do anybody. They can't do Red Skull, and nobody wants Magneto. Nobody, no offense to Ian McKellen or Michael Fassbender, but let's do somebody different. It's either him, Omega Red, or Sinister. Let's be real here. That's the episode title. Let's be real here.
Okay, fine. Let's be real here.
Let's be real here. Yeah. So let's move on. Is that all the news? That's all the news, right?
Yeah, that's all the news, man.
All right, so let's go into individual reviews, and I'm reviewing Avenger, all new, all different Avengers, number 6, by Mark Waid and Mahmoud Asrar. And I'm liking this, but I'm more meh about this. So this, after the opening ballot of them fighting off the Shi'ar, you know, not the Shi'ar, the Chitauri. We get a lot of drama. There's a lot of drama. Like, there's nothing bad about this book. Although the weird Vision thing, apparently Vision's been controlled by a version of Kang since issue 0, which is like, I get that it happened in issue 0, and we should have read issue 0, but issue 0 was also super expensive and had a whole bunch of adventure stories. Why not include that in issue 1, you know? Just in case people didn't read issue 0. So basically, the Vision, Kang launches a weird assault on the Avengers and using the Vision. In fact, there's a cool panel where like he sends a disruption field and you can see like all their form. Like you can see like at least for Iron Man and Sam Wilson, like you see them like half their new costumes and half like their first appearance costumes. Versus the kids, it's like they're just normal street clothing. Although Spider-Man, or though Miles Morales looks like he's cosplaying as Ben Reilly a little bit with the blue shirt. Thor gets a cool moment here in that she does the thing where she bangs two hammers and that banishes Kang to another dimension. A lot of cool action here. Sam officially knows that Thor is Jane Foster, and in fact they're actually going to start a relationship. So yeah. Or
seriously?
At least, yeah, the looks. I mean, it doesn't look like it's romantic, but it's like at least initially it's romantic, but like now, like it's. I don't know if it's romantic or if it's just like, we're gonna be really close friends because I don't know what you're going through, but I want to be here because we're teammates kind of thing. Although they did kiss in the 4th issue, so who knows? Yeah, I mean, it was an enjoyable issue, but I'm just not sure. And this is all in comparison to Ultimates, really. It's not. All the Ultimate Avengers is fun. It's what I want out of the book. But when I read Ultimates, it's on a whole other level. And it's two different types of books. I realize that, but it doesn't have that. Sure, you can to put it into terms. It doesn't have that punch that I want it to have. It's good, but it's not keeping me. And I'm gonna try issue 7, but I don't know if I'm gonna read after that. Issue 7 is the start of a new arc, or actually, it's gonna go into a crossover because of that stupid Civil War shit. Oh, God. Okay. It gets a 3 out of 5. It's a good book. It's a quality Avengers book. It's reminiscent of the Kurt Busiek era. It's very reminiscent of that, of an older Avengers book that we haven't gotten in a long time because of Bendis and Hickman. But it's good. I just don't know if I want to keep reading it every time. Like, there's just that. So, versus Ultimates, it's just like, oh my god, I need to know now. I need to know now. But let's go to John. Let's go to you.
Well, thank you. Because I was a total and complete dumbass today and I left the issues that I wanted to review at home, I do have Totally Awesome Hulk number 2, so all of you that are going to complain, okay, that's like a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, whatever, sorry, that's just what I got. But, and I even kind of partly covered in a previous episode, but anyway, Greg Pak is the writer, Frank Cho is the artist, and just more fun stuff with Frank Cho as the awesome Totally Hulk, and he's fighting monsters, fighting this new lady called, who's trying to hit him with a club, going, "Behold the wrath of Lady Hellbender, the monster queen of Sekhnarch 9. And you see them fight and fight, and then at one point, looks like the gal tries to kidnap the Hulk's sister, and Spider-Man's, "No, I'll get her." The whap, and She-Hulk's like, "Nope." And he's like, "What the heck? Look at the Hulk. Trust me, I know that look." And Cho kind of loses it and slams her into the ground. And you have a good single panel stage where he's losing it. He's almost traditional Hulk style. And Spider-Man's going, "Oh, that look." And it flashes back. So we see more of Banner's Hulk screaming because of all the energy absorbed. And Black Panther and Iron Man are trying to figure out what they can do. And it's trying to show what's going on with that. But then they stop from there and it goes back to the present day. And She-Hulk's trying to go, "Hulk, no, shut up and stay down." And the lady's like, "Never, come on then." And they fight. And Spider-Man, you know, Miles Morales, comes up from behind, kicks him in the back going, "Hold up, man," and then gets grabbed by the head. Looked like he's about to get chokeslammed through about 5 miles of stone. And he's like, "Oh, wait a minute, look, 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 your sister's fine." And she's like, "Yeah, that's right, you big dummy. Now calm down, Spider-Man needs his head." And he finally calms down. He's like, "Okay, I'm hungry." And then you find out that the lady is actually trying to rescue the creatures and put them back on their ship, and she's not as bad as, you know, everybody thinks she is, and she's trying to be a good guy. And then Fin Fang Foom pops out of the water, and they start going, looks like they're going to go after him. And then she's like, "Now, who at all would welcome death if it meant the chance to battle the galaxy's fiercest beast? Join me now." And the Hulk goes ahead and joins up with the hot-looking alien queen from Sekhnarch 9. And it's to be, as they call it, to be continued. I will say this. I was, like, again, I've been... Oh, God, I just saw an ad for that stupid standoff Avengers thing for Civil War. Sorry. But the issue itself was very fun. Frank Cho's art is perfect for this title. Pak is writing. His writing is on target. You can tell he knows how to write Amadeus Cho. And this is probably one of the better Hulk runs I've read in quite some time. That's not saying it's up there with World War Hulk or Peter David's run, but it's nice to have a Hulk run where it's just, the closest thing I would say would be like Wahaha style of the Justice League.
Oh, the Keith Giffen, James Gantia, yeah, stuff?
Kind of sort of like that. It can be serious, but it's a fun time to read. Good humor. Doesn't get totally overly slapsticky. It kind of keeps it reined in. I give it 4 out of 5. I'm going to continue reading this once I can get back to the store to pick, you know, the next couple issues, because I know I'm behind. So, you know, thanks to Marvel's wonderful
double shipping
schedule.
Bullshit that DC is going to be copying soon.
Oh,
or not, not soon, but I'm gonna.
That's why I'm about ready to take a flaming torch to that schedule.
It's fucking Marvel's fault for launching this stupid tactic in the fucking first place.
Yeah, it's hard for me to keep up on anything. But anyway, there we go.
All right, Brian, let us close this segment of the show with your review of X-Men. Worst X-Men ever. This bodes well.
Yeah. I gotta say, though, I was kind of pleasantly surprised by it.
So what is the deets? What is the detail?
Okay, so it starts off with this kid named Bailey, you know. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, he's the most, you know, unnoteworthy kid you could ever imagine. At least the story is set up that way. And it gets to a point where he's trying to figure out what makes him special, And, yeah, it's cheesy and it's cookie cutter, but it gets better. Trust me. So his parents sit him down and they talk to him and basically tell him that, look, son, a few years ago, your mother and I made a decision. See, we're both mutants, and yet we didn't want to be caught up in all that bullshit, so we basically stayed in the closet. And given that we're both mutants, there is more than a likely chance that you are also a mutant.
That's actually a really good point, that, hey, maybe not all of us want to wear spandex and join mutant assassins, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, basically what it is that this kid is stoked because he thinks he's immediately going to be, like, you know, an X-Man or something like that, and he's out of his mind. Now, the parents themselves are sort of unremarkable. The mother has X-ray vision, and the father can generate heat, I think, although not really noteworthy heat, just heat, which is kind of bizarre. Basically, though, this kid gets worked up about it, and they're like, if you want to find out if you have an X gene, if it's active or whatever, because there is the theory that two mutants could cancel out the X gene for the next kin, but he's devoted to finding out. He wants to know. So they bring him to the X mansion.
So we don't know this kid is a mutant.
No. We don't know if he's a mutant or what.
We don't know if he's X gene positive. Interesting.
Keeping in mind, of course, the continuity in this book is questionable.
Oh, I have a feeling it doesn't play with others. It's just its own miniseries.
Yeah. It absolutely is that. Beast is still kind of, you know, furry Beast or whatever before Whedon's run on it anyway. So they go to Hank McCoy and they try to figure out what it is, and they give him a battery test, and they basically find out that this kid has the power to turn into what is essentially a human firework, able to explode on command and control both the density and shape of the combustion. However, the moment he does that, he'll die because he will have just exploded. So this kid who grew up, you know, fantasizing about being something special or whatever, gets the news that he has an ability that will immediately kill him upon use of said ability, which he equates as basically not having any abilities whatsoever. But Hank McCoy gives him the classic chin-up thing, you know, just because you don't have a usable power doesn't mean you're not an X-Man or a mutant. You're always welcome here, et cetera, et cetera. So what ends up happening is oh, God, what is it? No, I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought. So he's, you know, he's downtrodden, and he decides to leave because he doesn't feel like he belongs there or whatever, considering he's not an X-Men. And his parents are giving him the, look, buddy, we know it's tough, but we're always here for you. We'll always love you. And immediately they are crushed under the foot of a fucking Sentinel robot attack. Immediately. It is terrible and hilarious. This kid finds out he is an X-Man with a virtually unusable power, and his parents die all in the same day.
Damn!
Yeah. So without much to fall back on, he ends up being taken into the X-Men because he has nowhere else to go, no family. So he's invited in, and he's sort of shown around by Jubilee at this point. And you can tell it's out of context because Kitty Pryde is there, and she's rocking the whole high school girl thing. So, you know, they still got that going on. And they introduced two other characters named Rags and Riches, a brother and sister combo who arrived before he showed up. One has the ability to transmute matter into solid gold, and the other can deconstruct matter on a molecular level. So, you know, they got that. And next, the kid is taken to see Forge, who is still also at the X-Mansion working there. And basically, out of just pure sympathy for the kid, I guess, they give him, like, a battle suit. It's a really nice-looking battle suit, too, designed by Forge, so, you know, it's nice. And they basically resolve to, after enough training, they're going to make this kid an X-Man. So, you know. But that's really the end of it. The story ends with the X-Mansion coming under attack, and the preview for the next issue prompts an encounter with Mystique. So we'll see how that goes. But overall, I mean, the issue was fairly entertaining. I enjoyed it. It's one of those, like, it's like a dark comedy type thing, you know, because he can't use his ability, or he dies, and then also his family dies, and he doesn't have any powers or really any agency in it. So, you know, it's a dark comedy, but it is deceptively drawn by Michael Walsh, who, Ben, you noted, is a fantastic illustrator. He is actually does a really good job with this issue.
Oh, yeah.
Very well done with colors and shading. Really beautiful to look at. The writing is a little hokey in places, but given the fact that this dude is not a regular comic book writer and he's a first-time writer,
I think judging by what you said about the book, I think that's the point. I think he's trying to capture that sort of 60s, early 70s style of comic book writing.
Well, it's interesting because in the opening interaction between this dude, Bailey, and his friend, he's trying to pick a girl he's going to ask out or something like that. It's really kind of ambiguous. But then they get to this one girl, and it's like he talks about her in all the cliches you've ever seen about every teen movie. Like, she's pretty in a totally anonymous way. She listens to jam bands and wears hoodies to the colleges she wants to attend. The other day I heard her covering Lord in the Quad with some shirtless guy playing acoustic guitar. She has not one noteworthy quality to her. And it's like broken down the most clicky, cliched way possible. But at the same time, there's enough of humor there and irony, a cruel twist of fate, I guess you would call it, that it sort of redeems itself in that sense where it's like, okay, yeah, there's a few hokey moments, but for the enjoyability of the comic, you're more than willing to get over it. And especially considering where the book is going next, totally away from that and into more of the X-Men style adventures or whatever, I think that's going to be, you know, a slightly step up, I should hope.
All right, well, I guess that's going to do it for our review section. We got one more section for you, a bonus section. And not only Oscars last night and Leonardo DiCaprio actually winning for Best Actor, which, according to Brian and me, you kind of got a softball pitch to you there this year, Leo, although we do agree he deserved it in previous years.
Yeah.
I think personally Trumbo should have, what's his name?
Walter White.
Brian Cranston, Godzilla's own Brian Cranston.
I'm the one who should have won it.
Yeah, he should have. Have you seen Trumbo? He's amazing in there. I think he should have won it out of the nominees. But so we're gonna give not all like, and for best sound editing, the winner is no. We're gonna give our best picture of the all new, all different Marvel reboot. That means our favorite books of the current Marvel line. And for me, it's a tie it's a virtual tie, but I will pick one out of two. I will go ahead and say both of them is between, surprisingly, Invincible Iron Man. I've really enjoyed Bendis's. Again, Bendis always starts out strong. It's the ending. It's when he gets you. It's like a lot of fun and a lot of Tony Starkisms, and I love it. But really, the best picture of the current Marvel universe has to be The Ultimates by Al Ewing and Kenneth Rocafort.
Wow.
Those, I did not read this book. I looked at it, I'm just like, this is stupid. This is dumb. What are they doing? And then I read the book, and holy crap, this is, like I've said it before, it's reminiscent of Warren Ellis in early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. Very big ideas, stuff you can never do in a movie or in a TV show, stuff that's only you can do in comic books, captures the spirit of comic books, and just that's just like whole and just the like one of the things that I made like that astounded me when I started reading comics almost a decade ago this May when I would read like say Sandman for the first time or The Authority or Seven Soldiers is that larger than life bigger than you kind of feel, and The Ultimates brings that with its epic cosmic adventures. And when I mean cosmic, it fills that niche. It's the best Avengers book going on right now. It's the best book Marvel is publishing right now. And there's a lot of good books Marvel's publishing. Ant-Man, Miss Marvel, The Astonishing... I said Ant-Man already. Silk, Spider-Man, Miles Morales. It's not called that, but just to distinguish it. so many good books, but man, Ultimates is in its a league of its own as far as I'm concerned. It's the best Marvel book being published right now. Go read it. John, what is your best picture?
Okay, my best picture, again, it came down to two, and I'm gonna have to go with Doctor Strange, because you've been knocking it out of the park. Every issue I've read, it, you know, the threat's getting bigger, larger. Jason Aaron has just been, he's given the best version of Doctor Strange I have seen in years. The art, you know, is a tribute to Ditko without being a ripoff, and I've been looking forward to every issue. The follow-up I would have been Invincible Iron Man. You know, again, it's Bendis, starts out strong, probably will finish weak, we'll see. But yeah, I highly recommend Doctor Strange. That's why I said wow when I heard you say Ultimates, because I know you've been really enjoying Doctor Strange as well. So that's my pick.
Doctor Strange, that is a good one. That is another good one. Again, what I mean, there's so many of them. Brian, what is your best picture of the current one of yours? And I love how Brian just doesn't answer me whenever I ask him a question.
Sorry, Mike was on mute. Sorry. I was typing. And I know how obnoxious my typing can get, so I try to mute the microphone. You can just edit around this, though, right?
Just keep going.
Okay, fine. I was going to say Karnak, but since there's only two issues of that, I kind of feel like it's kind of a cheat answer. And, you know, Moon Knight hasn't come out yet, so I can't say that either.
It's already been canceled, so go on.
Damn it. You know what? Honestly, I'd probably give it to All New Wolverine. The Adventures of Laura Kinney.
That's another good one.
Yeah, dude. It's been a solid read for me. I mean, I'm looking through my stack, and of all the books that I pull each week, that's one that I honestly can't wait to get to every single time it comes out. Because it is just, you know, it's a really well-written story, and it's Laura doing Wolverine, but she's doing it her own way, and I think that's really an important facet of the character. So that, you know, because she's not the same as Logan, and she has a job that immediately invests her in her work. So I think I would definitely say All New Wolverine for me is a top choice. Although, if I had to pick a close second, and I had to thank Taser for this, I'd probably go with Hercules. Hercules has been another really solid read thus far. It's been a really refreshing take to see Hercules not be the drunken oaf. And so to see that sort of come across in a brand new tale that delves into mythology, one of my favorite, you know, sort of facets of literature, that is really something exciting to see. And of course, yes, Karnak as well, because it's so fucking bizarre and bonkers and, you know.
Yeah, issue two finally dropped.
Yeah, dude, after like months and months of anticipation.
What anticipation? I forgot. Until I noticed, like, wait a minute.
I never forgot, man. I never forget when Warren Ellis is a book that I want to get.
I guess. I'll read it in trade at this point. I'll read it in trade.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, the way I heard it was that allegedly one of the people working on the book, and I hadn't heard which one, became like deathly ill or someone got really sick. And I'm inclined to think it might have been the artist on this. I don't think it was Ellis who dropped the ball on this one, although admittedly he has the record against him. But the reason I say that is because Gerardo Zaffino, the artist in the book, he has a fill-in artist doing the last few pages in this issue, in issue number two.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it might have been he came down with something and was ill and just couldn't get to the book because, you know, whether or not it was Ellis remains to be seen. Like I said, they didn't confirm one way or the other, but I would like to think that if it was Zaffino, maybe Warren Ellis got a jump on scripting the next couple issues and that they won't be delayed, maybe?
They probably will be, just because we'll see, though. It's a vanity. It doesn't affect the Marvel Universe, so let it be what it is. That's what Warren Ellis does well. But your best picture is All New, All Different Wolverine, huh?
Yes. All New, All Different Wolverine has been a consistent favorite of mine, so I definitely got to give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, that's a book I really read and really enjoy. I'll agree with that one. It's a high action movie it kind of feels like a good action movie with a great solid female lead.
It's one of those books where, you know, when it was first announced that she was taking over the title, you didn't know how it was going to work, but the transition was so smooth and enjoyable, you almost didn't care. Because, you know, Laura Kinney is a character who's been around forever, and she's finally getting her due recognition as the Wolverine. I think that's really great for the character.
Oh, so. Yeah. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for today's show, right, gentlemen?
I think so.
All right.
What to say?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this episode of the Mighty Warriors Tomorrow Podcast. If you have any comments on this episode, including your best picture for the current Marvel Universe, Deadpool, the upcoming X-Force movie, our individual reviews, what are your reviews? What are the Marvel books you're reading? Because Lord knows we're not reading everything that Marvel's doing. I don't even think collectively we are. So let us know, what books are you reading that you're enjoying that other people aren't talking about? Let us know. Follow us at twitter.com/Warriors3PCast for updates on the show. And, of course, our Facebook group, the Mighty Warriors 3, where Brian, John, and Benchman Taser do an excellent job of managing that, because I don't see anything. You could be posting porn there. I could be sending you to porn. I don't know.
Yeah, Iggy controls the Twitter sphere.
I am the lord of the Twitters. It's like being the lord of the dance, but I don't have as good of moves. plug time. Visit me at twitch.tv/Iggy2814 for all my streams. I recently got an Elgato HD60 capture device to basically, now I can stream off my console. So I've been streaming Super Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, which is an RPG with Mario and Luigi. And then on Mondays at 1 o'clock, every Monday, I'll be streaming something. Usually it's Donkey Kong, but this next Monday begins Mega Man March. I'll be playing Mega Man X1 and X2. For the entirety of the month, so that's going to be fun. And then maybe Twilight Princess HD, because that comes out this Friday. So we'll be try to be doing that. But a lot more streams for me with a lot more variety than I have had in the past. So, and of course, the GreenLanternCorps.com for all my Green Lantern reviews, including this Wednesday's, which at the time this is released, will be out now. The review might be out, but hit there anyways, so you can bookmark it for later. My review of the 50th issue of the 50th issue of Green Lantern of the New 52. Hard to believe it's been 50 issues. This is the month. March is the month where all the New 52 issues hit 50, which is crazy to think about. Sadly, none of the books I read from 1 to 50. A lot of them I either
just in time for them to reboot it again.
Yeah, just in time, exactly. Well, actually, that ends at 52, so three more issues. 50, yeah, three more issues. Yep. Two more issues after the 50. Whatever. This weekend, check out at SentaiRangers.com, where you can check out my first official review. You can already go to SentaiRangers.com right now. Check out my review for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 0. But this Wednesday, the first issue comes out. So be sure to check out my review of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 1. So yeah, I'm doing a lot of shit on the internet. Anything y'all want to say before we go?
Yeah, I'm going to say that I finally got my taxes done. I'm going to be getting a refund here coming up once I get that taken care of and get a couple of things purchased / get used to. I'm going to start making my presence known better on the interwebs again, and I'm going to be covering, as you were saying, Sentai. I'm going to try to start covering weekly Sentai of the current version of Animal Dobatsu Sentai Zayuger, which I highly recommend that show. And I also will be covering Kamen Rider Ghost when I get the chance to get all this thing set up in an older Sentai, along with maybe comparisons with the between the Power Rangers version and the Japanese version. I will also try to, once I get started picking up on the comic, I'll see what about maybe doing a review or two of the new Power Rangers comic when it comes out. Other than that, maybe just might do random pro wrestling stuff and all that sort of thing, but I'll get more information as it comes out. So here we go.
All right, and Brian, anything to say, buddy? I love how he mutes his mic. Well, Brian,
God
doesn't...
damn it! Sorry. Oh my god! Fuck! Shit! You guys just have to put up with me typing because I'm too used to not.
That's fine. Join us next week, because we're actually gonna have a book of the week next week. It's gonna be it's gonna be Black Widow number 1. So join us next week for a book. So that is your homework. Pick up Black Widow number 1. That'll be our book of the week next week. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm the Marvelous Iggy. That's Brian Powers, and that's of course John. We will see you all next week for episode number 226 of the Mighty Warriors.